Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a psychotherapist, telecoach, author, and seminar leader, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, do you have a life purpose? Do you have a sense of what your purpose in life might be? Do you think it's important to have a purpose in life or to know what your purpose is? If you've never thought about it, if it intrigues you, what is the nature of my life's purpose? Stay tuned, because I'm very happy to introduce to you Rhys Thomas, who is the author of Discover Your Purpose, How to Use the 5 Life Purpose Profiles to Unlock Your Hidden Potential and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. And Rhys is also the creator of the Rhys Method Life Purpose Profiles. Well, thank you for coming on Just Relationships, Rhys, and I am thoroughly intrigued. And would you say that most people think about having a life purpose?
They don't when they're in survival. They're just surviving. It's actually when people get to that place where they've done all the surviving, they've worked really hard, and surviving sometimes means making millions of dollars. It could just be like whatever you're trying to do to make your mark in the world. And then at some point in our lives, people get to that, what I call the midlife crisis or the midlife calling, where the soul calls you a little bit more than the external world. And in that moment is when people tend to show up on my doorstep at the Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, and in most therapists' office and things, where it's kind of like, oh, you know, I've kind of had this deeper feeling like there's something missing, and I don't know if I'm actually living my purpose. It doesn't, everything I do doesn't seem to, even though for some people, like for me, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was very, very successful at what I did, but it never really felt like it filled me, and it never fulfilled the promise that it was supposed to fill, and the relationships, the work, everything, and so even my black belt in the martial arts was sort of like, why? You know, I finally achieved this, and I was like, well, is that really my purpose? Is that so? So yeah. Mm. So I think everybody at some point in their lives hit that, and I think, you know, people are doing it earlier and earlier now because there's so much more information out there that there might be something like a life purpose that you ought to be finding for yourself.
Wow. So that already is a big deal, to even ask yourself the question, what is my life's purpose? Does my life have a purpose? And do I want it to have a purpose? So before we get into the 5 life purpose profiles specifically, what is the advantage to a person of choosing their life purpose?
Well, the biggest one is peace of mind and a sense of inner peace, self-love, pretty much everything that you would desire comes from a foundational understanding of who you are. Wayne Dyer talked about, a lot of authors talk about it, they point toward it, they say, well, you ought to find your life purpose, you should have a life purpose, and the most important thing, I think Wayne Dyer is to say, most important thing is to have a sense of purpose. And the problem is that without a real sense of purpose, which is a felt sense of purpose, like this deeper quality that you have been since you were born, what we end up doing is we end up having a sense of purpose from an external event. Like, if I get this job, that'll be my purpose. Or this, oh, it's this relationship. Oh, no, it'll be when I become a mother or when I become a father. It's when I get the second vacation home. It's when I, you know, it's like this sort of striving for do things. And so what we end up doing is we learn that a purpose is an object, like a job. And so oftentimes in our culture, people will say, what's your life purpose? And they'll say, well, this is what I do for work. Mm-hmm. And your job is never your life purpose. Your relationship is, well, even though we're going to talk about this today, your relationships are an integral part of your life purpose, but they are not the life purpose itself.
Mm-hmm.
Your life purpose is a quality of being. It's something that's deep within you that makes you incredibly happy when you are being able to experience that. And I'd say that if your question was what's the most important reason for knowing your life purpose is that when you know your life purpose, really know it, not just sort of like say, well, I'm a really good person, I'm really happy, which is sort of like it's what I call a vow. In my book, I call it a vow, where you vow to always be something. That's not a life purpose. That's a fear of being all of you, all that you are. Mm-hmm. But the most important element, when you are actually able to embrace your life purpose, is that you can make choices in your life.
Mm.
And when you don't know your life purpose, you don't know how to make choices. You're always guessing.
Oh, I see.
So that's really the biggest, the biggest element is if you're having trouble right now making a decision whether you should be with this person or in this job or how you should take care of your health or how you should, move on from here. Where should I live in this part of the world? For me, I just shifted 3 years ago to living in Spain because it just called me and I found I had a wonderful relationship, speaking of relationships, and I just thought, wow, I've always lived in the States and I had to ask myself, why did I always do it? Because it's like we tend to get into our decisions are made for us after a while. Well, of course I'm gonna live here. My family's here, but when you are able to really know your purpose and you have an opportunity in this moment for something to come up, you actually can refer to something deep within you rather than the way you've always done things.
Wow. I'm excited about this, Reese. So many people are indecisive. So many people don't make proactive decisions. They have decisions by default. Many people basically live to pay their bills and raise their children and aspire to give their children a better life than they have had.
Right. Until the children go away and then they're in the midlife crisis and then they come see you or me and say, what did I miss?
Yes. Wonderful.
And then what they missed was their own purpose. Even though your children, your relationships, they're all part of your purpose. Almost always people have gotten some of their purpose, but their deeper purpose, the part that really makes them happy, that inner candle flame that can never flicker, is a quality that that is something that's innate and makes you happy. Just even thinking about it makes you happy.
Mm. It's very exciting. And then once you determine it with the help of the profiles that you created, then it serves as a foundation and a guide for making important choices in life.
Right. And also once you, when you read Discover Your Purpose, you learn that there are five kinds of people in the world, and we all know them. They're the super creative people who are not always present, but they're up, but their mind is always at work and spinning. And then they're really super deep feeler type of people, the deepest sort of emotional and sensitive and gentle and quiet and very quiet voices, and they like to talk one-on-one. They don't like big groups, and they have that quality. And then they're the people that are really warm and you know, strong, and they're there for you, and they're always, you know, if you ever need help or push your car out of the ditch or you're sick and you need someone to bring, you know, food over, they're always there for you, and they are the caretaking people in the world. Mm. And then there are the people that are the achievers who aren't very caretaking necessarily, even though sometimes they are very good at whatever they decide to do, and caretaking may be one of them, but they're excellent at whatever they do. They're very good in school. They tend to be highly educated, and they are achievers through knowledge. And so we have people like that that are also, and they're very athletic as well. They tend to be like the triathlete type of body, very, very lean and driven, and they're very driven people. And then we have the final one, which are leaders, who come in all of the shapes and sizes. But the difference between the other ones and the leader is that the leader always, it comes down to it, their motivation is always for themselves, but in a way that they're here to inspire other people. They're trying to motivate people to make change, to make things different, and if you ever tell them what to do, they'll say, "Are you talking to me?" And it doesn't matter whether they are the super creatives like a Steve Jobs, you know, or a Princess Di, who would be the charismatic leader. She's a leader in being soft and gentle. So each of these qualities, the leader can take on any of those roles, because we need leaders in creativity, we need leaders in the heart, we need leaders in caretaking, and we need leaders in achieving and running big businesses and things and all that. So they will take all of those, and they'll also be leaders like warriors and politicians and people that are just sort of, you know, the total I'm on my own mission type of a person, and they're bigger than life kind of people, and of course, what goes along with all that big energy can be also big problems, but we know those five kinds of people: the thinkers, feelers, caretakers, achievers, and leaders. We know those people, and we know that they're out there, and we know that they aren't actually like each other. And so when you read the book and you find out who you are and really understand that you're more than just the good qualities, you're also the bad qualities. There's days when you have a bad day, the part of you that you reject, which often gets pushed into the shadow, is actually just as important a part of you as the part that is, you know, loving and caring and at peace. So learning about yourself in that way through the Discover Your Purpose book is very powerful, because then you can also see others in the same way. And this is a relationship show, and the most important part of any relationship is understanding what motivates your partner, right? If you understand why they exist, what's their purpose in the world, you can totally stop arguing with them about trying to have them be more like you. Because if you have, let's say you're an achiever, right? And you're an achiever, and you like people that are organized and structured and driven and all of that, and you naturally are attracted to, which is often the case, that the achiever is often naturally attracted because they tend to sort of close their heart down and drive themselves. They tend to be attracted to the softer, more heart-centered, soft feelers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're attracted to that person energetically because that person's their balance. But then they will spend almost the entire relationship trying to get that person to stop crying and not be so emotional, and what's the matter with you? And I mean, I already told you once I loved you this month. What's the matter? Right? Do I have to tell you again? And they struggle with that. And then, of course, the soft person in that same relationship, the deep feeler in that relationship, will look at this more driven, you know, more rigid achiever, and say, you know, and over time in the relationship, say, "Oh my God, you're just heartless. You don't feel anything. What's the matter with you?" And rather than realizing that they both have very different purposes in life, and they both come to the heart in a different way. Mm. So being able to recognize others, I mean, recognizing yourself is self-love. Recognizing others is how you come into that deeper relationship.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you're making so many important points, Reese, that I just want to underscore the idea that we are energetically attracted to people who are different from us. It's kind of like we have lost parts, and that person has those parts that we've lost, and we want to be whole, and somehow having union with this other person can help us gain these kinds of qualities. And then after the honeymoon stage is over, as you said, why can't you be more like me? And to just hate that person because they're not like you, and to even be insulted that they're not the way you want them to be in terms of your values, or as you would say, your purpose.
Right.
So this is wonderful. This is very enlightening that the achiever can be married to, a team player, right? And
generally the combinations are so the way energetically, when we're talking about energy, the achievers will naturally match with the emotional intelligence.
Right.
The charismatic leaders will naturally match with the team players.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being that the emotional intelligence people need structure, and so the achievers give them structure, and the achievers need a heart. So they're like the Tin Man.
Right.
They're going through life, and their complaint when they come in for therapy is always, it seems like my life is passing me by. I'm incredibly successful. I'm doing everything I should be doing. I've checked every box, but it feels like my life is passing me by, and I'm missing it.
Mm.
Because the heart is what slows down time. Without the heart, time doesn't slow down. Now, of course, the emotional intelligence specialists, which are the emotional ones, they spend an enormous amount of time, working in the garden or feeling or sitting and meditating or reading books and things like that. And and their complaint is often that they like to get out and make a little more money or do something or find something that they can contribute, and they're a natural pair that balances each other, assuming they can appreciate the other quality. Now, the other mm-hmm. element of that is that the what makes the achiever, what we call the achiever, is the knowledgeable achiever. And when they're in their defense, when they're in their rigid defense, we call them rule keepers. And
oh.
That's when they're the hardest. That's when they're the most thick skin metal kind of robot.
Mm.
And it isn't until they touch their heart and the compassion and the connection through relationship and realize that the relationship, it isn't the performance in the relationship, it's the depth of the relationship, it's the breadth, that they shift from being this sort of rigid rule-keeping person to being more of a knowledgeable sage that can support people in a great way. And likewise, the emotional intelligence person, that person who's super soft and deep, when they realize that their wisdom, that the wisdom that they have, the knowledge, the wisdom that they have, because if they're wired to have knowledge of emotions, that's much harder than just thinking. Thinking is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can analyze a book, 70 Ways to Sunday. That's easy thinking. When you're a person who can describe and be knowledgeable of the emotional world, you are a person who can really guide others in a very powerful way. And so they actually are the sort of other side of the fabric of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they find each other, and they tend to have opposite emotional, one's very upper chakra and the other one's very lower chakras.
Yeah.
And then the same thing applies with the leaders. The leader will always marry will tend to find the team player in their especially in their first sort of relationships, and they will try to or they will come into that relationship because the leader, of course, it's all about the leader. It's always all about the leader. Even if the leader is the woman in the relationship and she was taught to never have it about you, ultimately the relationship always defaults to the fact that that person makes all the decisions or demands that things go their way. And so there's always one, that person's the strong one in the relationship. And a strong person in a relationship that's very opinionated and really wants to have things go their way needs a person who's there to cheerlead them on and say, that's a great way. We're going to do it that way. Come on, we're going to do that. And so the team player, so we have the leader, what we call the charismatic leader, or also known as a charmer.
Mm-hmm.
and they will often find someone, they need to find someone who will be and play the role of their cheerleader, because amazingly the leaders have the lowest self-esteem, but usually have the highest position, so they really need someone there to if you look at our politicians and our leaders, it's always the case. They're incredibly low self-esteem people, and so they overcompensate by becoming famous.
Yes.
But the truth is that they are here to inspire, like a Martin Luther King or somebody, people like Maya Angelou, who are people who have that charisma, and then have very supportive people around them that support them in being that and reminding them that they see that in them. And so having team players all around a leader is very, very important, someone that sees that. And then vice versa, the team player needs to remember that being a team player, being a person that pulls a group together and supports everyone in the group and is the heartbeat of that group, where it's like, we're going to make this happen, we're all going to do it together, let's go together. That's an incredible leadership in our world. Mm. We have a world where all of the other profiles basically isolate themselves in some way, shape, or form. The thinker just goes off on their ideas. The emotional person feels like they're overwhelmed by the world and withdraws. The achiever, really doesn't care about what everybody else does as long as they're performing really, really well. And the leader, of course, is like, well, wait, it's not about you, it's about me. And because it has to be. A leader has to, there was only one Martin Luther King. There's only one person who can make it happen. Those people have to think that way. So we only have one set of people in the world who actually try to pull us all together and make us all work together. And when the team player realizes that is a power, that actually being compliant and helpful and surrendering and sacrificing is actually a real power, whereas our culture tells you that is a wimpy, terrible person, that you should be on your own, you should be independent, and don't be be doing that. That becomes, when they realize that they are actually a leader by doing that in the world, and an essential one, that's when they step into their power. So each of these qualities in their core will lead to the match made in heaven. But and I didn't talk about the creative people. The creative people really need, when they're in relationship, they need someone to meet them in their creativity. So they tend to find someone else who meets them at their high level of mental creativity, and then which is really sort of off the planet a little bit, right? So then when they're in the relationship, then they come into their secondary qualities in their heart. So they may have a secondary quality when they come in of being very, very soft, and then they'll find the achiever, or if they come in, they're a leader, they want to be a leader, and that person will find the team player, but they'll actually date through their secondary quality, not through their primary. Because their primary is really much more playful and kind of irreverent, and it isn't about the relationship, it's about the wisdom, the ideas.
I see, because I was wondering with the pairing, and you have five styles, so how that works. So the creative idealists look to their secondary, and they can be soft team players?
They can be anything.
Yes.
They can be anything. I mean, look at Steve Jobs.
Yes.
He was a creative idealist, totally creative idealist, but huge charismatic leader underneath it, right?
Right, right.
Powerful. So they can come in and be anything. They can, once in their secondary, so they learn that way. But they will need in their partnerships. Their partner needs to meet them at a spiritual level in some way. Mm-hmm. They need to meet them at a higher sort of a higher frequency level. They need someone that can understand them that way. If their partner is too dense, too rigid, too controlling, too needy, too emotional, and not able to meet them at that higher place, they feel, you know, that can't support them in being who they are.
Mm. So do you think that people intuitively are attracted? You had said energetically.
Yep.
They are energetically attracted to a person with a different life purpose. But then I think the bugaboo is, as we were saying, then after the honeymoon stage is over, why can't you be more like me?
Yes.
So this is really about, I think, self-acceptance and accepting of others as mm-hmm. their own separate beings, that they have a right to choose their own life purpose.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is that your life purpose, strangely, you don't get to choose your life purpose. Your life purpose is a soul quality.
I see.
And this is where my book differs mm-hmm. infinitely from all of the other books written on purpose,
mm-hmm.
as well as all of the other. There's a profile assessment in my book, and it's based on energetics, not on behavior.
Mm.
Whereas all the others, the Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, DISC, fantastic. They are fantastic studies in human nature, and they teach you an enormous amount. The problem is that they're energetic based. So a person who has a huge, you know, you've got a person who has a which I've had come into my program, say a 280 pound football player body, right? Which would and who has violent tendencies, or is, you know, and they have this tendency in their life to get up in their head and spin around in their head, right? And so they overthink things, and they, you know, so they have some ADD or whatever they have. And when they test on any sort of a test, even the test that I give, they will often say, "Oh, well, I'm totally a creative person, right? I'm always mm-hmm. in my head. I'm always in my head." But basically, they're rarely ever actually not, when they're in a room with other people, they're rarely not present and you know, and threatening almost, right? Because they're big, strong people. So it's really important to understand that the body is the first chakra, right? So it can't be any different than the energetic. The whole energetics of the energy field has a core purpose. The body is the total representation of your life purpose.
Oh,
and so the
yes.
type of body you have is directly related to the profile you have, to what you're doing. So in those other things, if you've behaved that way, and often we choose our behavior because of our wounding in our life, not because of who we are.
Wow.
And we choose to behave and say, well, this is how I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I've always done, and this is what our family does, so I must be that. Well,
right.
Of course, you take the test, you take that behavioral test, and what happens? You come out just the way you thought you would, and
yes.
then you read more about yourself, and then you learn how to do it better.
Do
the
it
problem
better.
Is that
so, Reese, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Would you believe our show is over already?
Oh,
this,
really?
This half hour has absolutely flown by, Reese, and everybody, you're going to be even more excited now because Reese is coming back next week to do a second part two of Discover Your Purpose. And Reese, I imagine you can get your book, Reese Thomas, Thomas, Reese, Rhys, Discover Your Purpose, online and at local bookstores and that sort of thing.
DiscoverYourPurposeBook.com, and you get a whole bunch of bonuses.
Oh,
or
wonderful.
Or you can go to Amazon and buy it on there, or Barnes & Noble, they have it. But if you go to DiscoverYourPurposeBook.com. Yep.
Beautiful. Thank you, Reese. This is WHPC 90.3. I am Dr. Duffy Spencer. We are Just Relationships, and I will speak with you next week, and looking forward to great relationships.